The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Guys, so again, I want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast. If you're watching this by Facebook Live or whether you're watching by YouTube or where you're listening by podcast, we always welcome you. If this is your first time joining us, please let us know below. Please inform us that you're new or this is your first time. And if you would, let us know where you're joining us from. We always like to see where you guys are listening, from around the world. We've got someone here from Australia tonight that we see on here. We got people from inside the United States. We get people from the Philippines, from all over the world that join us for these broadcasts. Again, this is End Time Headlines, and I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice and the pastor of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministry. So tonight, I'm going to be expounding on John 15. John 15, if you have a Bible, you can follow along with me. I want to talk about the vine dresser and the branches. Anybody who's familiar with John 15, before I even said John 15, you probably already knew that's where we were going to go tonight. So I'm going to read this passage. It's a pretty short passage, John 15, 1 through 8. And then we're just going to expound, and I'm going to show you some stuff. I want to show you the blessing of John 15, and then I want to show you the negative of John 15. There is a negative side to this if you're not on the right side of what we're talking about here. Watch this. And this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So we see all three references here, the vine dresser, and the branches. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that it would go forth, that it would, God, it would prosper in that which is sent forth, that it would encourage, it would equip, and it would edify. And Lord, I just bind all distractions and hindrances that would take away the people's attention and their spirit away from the receiving of this word tonight. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, guys. So again, we have the vine dresser and the branches. The vine here, obviously, is Jesus. The vine is in the natural, the vine is the source of life. For the branches, it provides water, it provides nutrients, and which without these things traveling from the vine to the branches will not be able to survive, and thus there will be no fruit that will be produced. So again, the branches are utterly dependent upon the vine. All right, the vine dresser is the Heavenly Father. Again, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser is involved in the daily pruning and cultivation of the vine and its branches. Howbeit the branches, not so much the vine, but the branches. For example, grapevines, which are natively grown there in Israel, vine dressers are a century-old profession in which vine dressers work nearly year-round to help ensure that the vineyard has a successful crop from which to create wine, juices, and other items. So now listen to that. Just as in the natural, there has to be a daily cultivation, a daily pruning. Did you know your Heavenly Father is involved? If you're a believer listening to this tonight, watching this tonight, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, or podcast, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are plugged into Him as the vine and you're the branches. It is absolutely imperative that we remain connected to our source of nutrients and vitamins, minerals. I'm talking natural sense here. But now let me talk spiritual sense here. Watch this. Again, we are the branches. And notice it says, Jesus says that, in the words here in red, Jesus said, every branch. Now I'm talking about the good point of this, and then we're going to talk about the bad point. So we're going to get the good up front, and then I'm going to lead you to the bad, the negative of this, of John 15. The positive of this, it says that if you bear fruit, then the Heavenly Father is going to continue pruning you. Now, nobody likes pruning. Pruning is a process in which there's some cutting, there's some removal, there's some shortening, there's some separating, and as a result of that, it provokes new growth. It will ensure the bearing of fruit. I hate to tell you this, but if you're a believer in Christ and you're pursuing Him, you're pursuing a relationship with Him, you're walking with Him, whether you like it or not, you're going to be subject to pruning because the Heavenly Father wants to see fruit produced in your life. Can I prove it to you? Listen to this. Listen to verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you and I bear much fruit. Did you hear that? By this process is our Heavenly Father glorified, through the fruit-bearing process. How is He glorified? From us bearing fruit. All right? Now, watch this. Now, let's go to verse 3. Listen what he says. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. How are we clean? Through the word. The word cleanses us. The purifying of the word by the washing of the word of God daily. Listen to what he says. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So, question, how do we abide in Him? We abide in Him through the word. Come on, this is so elementary, guys, but this is a word for somebody. I don't know. Maybe you're a new convert. Maybe this is just a word of exhortation, encouragement. Maybe it's a good reminder to you tonight, but somebody needs this word tonight. We abide in Him and He in us through communion, communication, fellowship, relationship. How do we have this relationship with Him? This is the process. We do it by reading His Word, absorbing His Word, digesting His Word, meditating on His Word, day and night. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, David said, upon it day and night. And then Joshua comes along and says, he says, those who meditate upon the word, that they're going to prosper and all that they lay their hands to do, then they'll have success. How? By meditating upon the word, consuming it, digesting it, absorbing it through prayer, through intercession, through communion, through the reading of the word, the washing of the word. It's a daily, process. In which we allow the shears of our Heavenly Father to come in, and begin to prune and begin to shear some stuff off of us. Listen, we don't even know. Let me give you a true story. Tonight, we have, I learned something new. Didn't know this. But we have evergreens in our backyard. And I've noticed one of my evergreens, which was a smaller one, it was completely dead. It was brown. And we had to dig it up from the roots. We had to tear it up and completely remove it. Then all of a sudden, I noticed another one was starting to brown up. And then we, after further examination, we looked around the trees, and they're all starting to brown up. They're all starting to brown up. And then what we realized was when we, further inspection, is they had an insect on them called a bagworm. And there's these little cocoons that you had to go. We didn't even know they were on the tree until we went and examined the tree. And there's these little, there's these bagworm cocoons all over the trees. And we had to go and pick these things off. But again, we would have never known this until we came up on it with further examination. So what I'm trying to tell you is, guys, many times, the longer we stay away from His presence, the longer we're absent from the Word, the longer we're absent from the house of God, we will begin to produce works of the flesh. Things are going to start coming out of us that we didn't know. We won't realize, why am I talking the way I am? Why am I acting the way I am? Why am I associating with people that I never associated with in times of seasons past? Why am I beginning to watch things I don't normally watch? I'm losing my temper more often than I normally did. Why? Because we are not allowing, listen to me, we're not allowing the shears of our Heavenly Father to come in and prune us and take out a little bit of this and take out a little bit of that and take off a little bit of this. Why? Because the browning process starts on the inside and works its way out. Come on, there's still hope for us. As long, and you say, well, how do we allow this? We allow it when we get into His presence. When we take time out, we shut everything off. We get into His Word. We digest His Word. We get into prayer. We get into the secret place, and we begin to allow Him to come in and remove the dead things. Guys, it's the fall season. The fall season represents sowing. It represents, you got to break up the ground. You till up the ground. You tear out you get rid of the old and you make ready for the new. You put seed down. Now is the time to put down some fresh seed. Now is the time to fertilize. Why? Because we're getting ready to go into a time of winter, a time when things die. But the hope is on the other end of this thing, at the end of the process, the end of the season, when we come out on the other end, which will come our spring season, that's the season of new life. It's a season of new growth. Come on, somebody. It's a season of renovation. Come on, I just feel like this word's for somebody. The Lord's trying to remove some dead things out of your life. He's trying to remove some dead relationships. He's trying to get you out of some dead churches. Come on, somebody. He's trying to get you out of some dead things, dead opportunities that is not going anywhere. It's not producing fruit. It's not producing growth. So here's what the Lord's doing. He's coming down. He's pruning. He's shearing. He's clipping. He's taking some things off. He's removing some things. Why? So it can promote some growth. It can promote new life. It can promote your next season in your life. Now, John 14:12-14, most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Listen to this. Let me go back to John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears fruit, much fruit. And then he says in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen to this, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Now, the indictment here is that if we don't abide in Him and we're not abiding in Him, we can't just be praying whatever we want to pray and expect results. Notice it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So it's contingent. You can't just be asking, seeking, and knocking and expecting to receive and expecting someone to open the door and expect something to happen when we're not even a buy. God is not a Santa Claus. He's not a slot machine. Come on, somebody. You can't just pull a lever and put your hand out and expect something to fall in your hand. There is a covenant. There's a relationship. All right? Now listen to this. Let me read on. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. This is the confidence that we have in what? In Him. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now how do we have this if? The if is contingent upon the in Him. Are you in Him tonight? Are you abiding in Him tonight? Are you in His Word tonight? Are you in His presence tonight? All right? So the reward of being in Him is that you can ask and receive. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to get happy with me tonight. This is powerful if you're on the right side of the tracks. I told you in the beginning of this, there's a good side to this, John 15. There's a bad side to this. Trust me, you want to be on the good side. Listen to this. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified. By what? By this my Father is glorified. What is it? That we bear much fruit. Did you know that when we bear fruit, we glorify the Father. Come on. Let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Did you notice how He gets glorified? Through our good works. You want to know how people know that we are walking with Christ, that we're abiding in Christ, that we're connected with Christ in relationship with Christ? By our fruit that we bear. Come on, by our fruit that we bear. I want to, listen, I got to share this with you because I shared this tonight. And this goes right along with what I'm talking about tonight. I'm going to share what I posted. This came on me today by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no doubt. And I'm going to read this. And tell me if this does not resonate with you. I'm going to quote what I posted on my personal Facebook today. Here it is. This is what I wrote earlier today. I want you to hear this. Quote, we have many today that like to shout their doctrine from the mountaintops to the masses while pointing their bony fingers in their faces. But unfortunately, their works are drowned out by the sound of clanging cymbal. Paul made it clear to the church of Corinth that you can speak with tongues of men and angels, have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and knowledge, possess faith to remove mountains, bestow all your goods to feed the poor, and give your bodies to be burned. But if you don't have love as your motivating drive, then you are nothing but an empty sepulcher filled with dead men's bones. You are an echo and an annoyance. And though you may be able to quote scriptures and be a master of theological and philosophical persuasions, but operate from a religious spirit filled with condemnation and arrogance, you are profiting nothing for the advancement of the kingdom and more than likely doing more harm than good for the message of the gospel. There comes a time, listen to this, when we need to start realizing that people are not impressed by how many scriptures we can quote or how many degrees that we have or our titles that we possess. What they are going to be impressed with is our love and compassion and our evident expression of a true transformation from an encounter with Jesus Christ that we're sharing with a dying world. Chew on that for a minute. Think about that, guys. People are looking for an expression of true Christianity. Jesus said, by the love that you have for one another, all men will know with an uncertainty that you are my disciples. Somebody say, my disciples. Listen to this. Now let me go back to John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now listen to the next part of this verse. So you will be my disciples. I'm going to break some news to you. There's a lot of people claiming to be disciples of Jesus, but if they ain't got any fruit, then you are not a disciple. You may be a follower of Jesus, but you're not a disciple of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. See, there's a lot of people that follow Jesus. There was multitudes that came out for the bread and the fish. There was multitudes that came out and watched him do healing, signs, wonders, and miracles. But when it got down to ministry, when it got down to casting out devils, when it got down to healing the sick, when it got down to raising the dead, when it got down to talk about, when he started talking about, unless you partake of eating my flesh and drinking my blood, which he wasn't talking about cannibalism, he was talking about partaking of the crucifixion, partaking of laying down oneself and taking up your cross and following after him. When he got down to the meat of the ministry, the Bible says they said, this is a hard saying. Who can do this? And most of them jokers walked away, and he looked at Peter and said, aren't you going to go with them, Peter? And he said, I ain't got nowhere to go. I don't have anything to go back to, Jesus, because I've done sold it all. I've done burned all my bridges. I've done forsaken everything, and I've left all to follow you. But the problem is, we got a lot of people that are merely following Jesus. See, you can follow Jesus and still hold on to some stuff. See, Peter was following Jesus from a distance, from afar off. He was denying Jesus, but he was still following Jesus. Golly, you don't want to hear it tonight. I said he was following Jesus, but he was still denying Jesus. See, he was warming himself around the fire, but when anybody got close to him and began to question whether or not he was abiding in him, his own testimony was, I don't know the man. And then a second time, I don't know who he is. And then someone says, surely you've been with him because your speech besets you. And he cursed and he swore. And he says, I don't know the blankety blank man. Again, we've got a lot of followers of Jesus, but we don't have very many disciples of Jesus. And one of the number one trademarks of a disciple of Jesus is fruit bearing. Are you bearing fruit? And in case you want to know what fruit is, you can go to the book of Galatians, and it tells you the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Let me say it again. Let me slow it down. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Can you honestly say that you are seeing these fruits and they are in abundance in your life? Now, look, I'm not trying to condemn you guys. You say, well, this sounds like a condemning message. No, I'm not trying to condemn you tonight. I'm trying to provoke you tonight. Come on. He provoked me last night when I was on my couch and I was digging into this, digging into the scriptures. The Holy Spirit was convicting me. Come on. While I was reading John 15, the Heavenly Father was coming down with his pruning shears and said, there's some things I got to prune off of you, son. Not because I don't love you, not because I'm trying to condemn you, because I love you so much that I got to get some of these dead things off you that's not producing anything so that you can produce more fruit. Listen, I want to walk in more love. Well, Brother Ricky, I've got joy. I know, but I want joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, I've got faith. Yes, I know, but I want to build up my most holy faith. Whew. Come on, somebody. Well, I've got long suffering, do you? Can you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect and complete work, that you may be complete in all that you do? Can you honestly say that tonight? This is not to condemn you tonight. This is not a condemning message. This is to provoke you. I want to challenge you tonight. Now, this is the good part. But now I've got to get to the bad part. See, Jesus said there's a two-edged sword. I've given you one side of the sword tonight, but I want to give you the other side. This is the part nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to talk about this part. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a danger that lies in John 15 that you probably haven't heard preached. And let me read it to you. John 15. Listen what Jesus said. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, my heavenly Father takes it away. Listen to this. Now I'll go down to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now listen to verse 6 of John 15. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Now in the natural, I just told you that I had a tree in my yard that was not bearing fruit. It was completely brown. It wasn't green anymore. It wasn't growing anymore. It wasn't producing anymore. It was using up the ground and was unfruitful. And it was hideous to look at. So what did we do? We ripped it up from the roots and we tossed it out. Now, many times we would start a fire and we would just throw it into the fire. That's in the natural. But what is he talking about in this? What's he talking about here in plain speech? And we know in the natural this understanding, but y'all don't want to hear this. Let me get to this. Watch this. Luke 13. All this is going to dovetail off of what Jesus said in John 15. Let's go all the way back to Luke chapter 13. Here's a man. Let me go to Luke 13 first. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking a parable. There were present at the season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish." All right? Verse 4. "Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Do you believe that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish." What he's saying here, guys, can I bring this in modern understanding? Do you believe those souls that died on 9/11 were worse sinners than somebody else? No. But unless you repent, you'll also likewise perish. Do you believe those people that died on the Titanic when it hit an iceberg and sunk and they all died out in the ocean? Do you believe they were worse sinners than those who didn't know? But unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. And we could go on and on and on. That's what he's emphasizing here, guys. It rains on the just and the unjust. Some things we can absolutely see it as a work of judgment, but other things, we live in a fallen world and things happen. Accidents happen. Just today, a very well-renowned Christian music artist, Toby Mac, I grew up listening to his music with DC Talk. His 21-year-old son was found dead in his home today. Now, how do we explain this? This man loved God. He was a Christian. He was going traveling around the world expressing Jesus through his music. But yet his 21-year-old son died. So it's just that's what we're trying to emphasize here. But unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. Now listen to this. But listen to verse 6. This is Luke 13, verse 6. He also spoke this parable. Now this is all in conjunction or context together. A certain man had a fig tree planted. Here we go, a tree. that has branches and fruit. Ready? He has a fig tree planted in his vineyard. If you've got a vineyard, you've got a vine dresser, right? All right. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Now, where does that sound like? That sounds like John 15, what we just read. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, who's the keeper of the vineyard? The Heavenly Father. Who planted it? Jesus. Who's the vine keeper? The Heavenly Father. Listen to this. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Now listen to what he says. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, leave it alone this year as well until I dig. Now, King James says, until I dig and dung it. Your New King James says, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. Guys, did you know that Jesus is our advocate? Golly, how deep you want to go with this tonight? He is our mediator. Did you know that every time Satan comes before the throne of heaven to accuse you, because he's the accuser of the brethren, that Jesus stands up and he puts him in his place? Come on. Because he became the propitiation for our sins. He became the high priest of the profession of our faith. So, I love this. Jesus is pleading our cause. Pleading, saying, give them time. I see something in them. There's a hunger in them. There's passion in them. Oh, who am I talking to tonight? There's somebody watching this, and you want to bear fruit. You want to do things for God. You want to fulfill your purpose. You want to do what God's calling you to do, but you struggle with these things. You struggle with producing fruit. You struggle with your mouth. You struggle with these habits. You struggle with these addictions. You struggle with cycles and seasons of addictions and sin. You struggle with these things, and it causes you it inhibits your fruit bearing. But aren't you thankful that Jesus sees your heart? He sees your passion. He sees your motive. He sees through all of it. And he sees you through his blood. Come on, somebody needs to get happy right there. Listen to this. But notice, it says, notice the context here. He says, if it does not bear fruit, it will be cut down and removed. Now let's go back to the days of John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all of the region around the Jordan went out to him. And were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now clean out your ears and listen to verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Somebody say, the wrath to come. We're not in the wrath right now. We're not in the tribulation yet. The wrath is coming. Somebody say, the wrath to come. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Therefore, listen to verse 8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Bear what? Fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones. Now you need to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you right here in verse 10. And even now the axe is laid to the roots of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit, I'm going to say it again. Does that sound like John 15? Every tree, this is John the Baptist speaking. Every tree which does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, what is this man talking about right here? What is John the Baptist talking about by inspiration of the Holy Spirit? What does cutting down and thrown into the fire mean? You ready for this? I know this is not going to be popular because it's never preached anymore, but it means ultimately the end game is cast into hell, cast into the lake of fire. You'll be separated from God and you will be burned with an unquenchable fire that will never be put out, in which the fire burneth forever, your word of God says. Well, I don't think that means that. Well, let me read on here. I indeed baptize you with water, John speaking, unto repentance. But he who comes after me is mightier than I. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now listen to verse 12. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. My friends, let me put this as simple as I can to you. John is baptizing people unto repentance. He's baptizing them unto repentance. Then he says to a group of religious Pharisees, who warned you of the wrath that's coming? And he tells them to bear fruits worthy of repentance. And if you don't, the axe is already laid to the root. You will be uprooted and you will be cast into the fire. And he tells you right here who's going to be responsible for that. And it's Jesus. And all you could see that in the book of Revelation. You could see it talks about this in the book of Revelation. It talks about it in Matthew 24. It talks about it in Matthew 25. It talks about this on the day of judgment. He will separate his wheat from his tares, his sheep from his goat. And notice the characteristics of the wheat versus the tares. The wheat in the barns are those who are producing fruit, whereas the chaff are those who do not bear any fruit. Let me look. Here's another one. Let me show you this. I didn't put this in my notes, but let me show you Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. David said this. Listen to this. The man who delights in the law of the Lord, and the law he meditates day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, and whatsoever is, and his leaf will not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. All right? But listen to the next verse. But the ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the who? Righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. How are they going to perish? I just told you. They're going to be gathered up like tree limbs and deadless, fruitless branches that bear no fruit, and they will be tossed into the fire. Matthew 13, 24 through 29, and then I'm done, guys. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. He sowed what? Tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Now who's them? Them is the tares. All right, watch this. Do you want us to gather them up? And the Lord says in this parable, the man says, no, lest while you gather the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. And let's see what he says. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. Somebody say until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. My goodness, guys, are you seeing it? Are you seeing how all these are tying together? These are all tying together here. So I know this is a sobering word. I know this is not a hoot and holler and shout and hallelujah and glory to God kind of word here. But listen, I have a responsibility, and that's to preach the whole counsel of God. So tonight, I want to encourage you tonight. I believe there's two groups of people tonight. There's one group that you are abiding in Him, and He's abiding in you. And that's good news. And it may be uncomfortable for you because just when you think you got all your ducks in order, when you got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted and you're doing good, you'll get in your prayer closet or you'll get in His presence or you'll get in His Word. And all of a sudden the Heavenly Father says, son or daughter, I've got some pruning I got to do in you today. I've got to trim a little bit on that attitude. I got to trim a little bit on that patience that you've got that you don't have. I got to trim a little bit on that anger issue that you've got. I got to trim a little bit on this, or I got to trim a little bit on that. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I'm trying to be mean to you. It's because I love you so much that I want you to bear more fruit, because through your fruit bearing, you go from a follower of me to a disciple of mine. From here on out, I no longer call you servants, the Lord said, but I call you my friends. Come on, there is a place in Him where we can move beyond following Him and be a disciple of Him. And that's where I want to be. I don't know about you. The other group of individuals here are, I believe, people that are, if you go into the context of this, they are not willing, they're not willing to get plugged into their very source of life. They're trying to plug into everything else. They're trying to be a solo branch. Come on. They're trying to be the branch out here that, come on, they want to be the branch that whips everybody. Come on, you take a branch. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The old timers know what I'm talking about. You tear a branch off. Your parents would tear a branch off a tree and they'd whip you with it. Come on. A branch can be used to whip somebody with, spank somebody with. It can be used to knock some weeds out of the way. A branch can be used as a crutch. Come on. You're trying to do everything solo. You want to do everything alone outside of being connected to the vine. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end thereof, it is death. Stop trying to live this life without being connected to the source of your very life. And that Jesus said, by you in Him, we live and move and we have our very being. So somebody needs to hear this tonight. I believe the Lord is calling you to get connected to Him. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And by accepting Him, friends, you're saying, Lord, I acknowledge tonight that I've tried to plug myself in. I've tried to plug myself into drugs. I've tried to plug myself into my career to try to get it to where I'm going to go. I've tried to plug myself into relationships and it's always failed me. I've tried to plug myself into drugs, into alcohol, into this, into that, and always leaves me empty. Come on. Tonight, the Lord says, plug into me. Connect yourself to me. I want to be your source. I want to be the main source of everything that you need in life. Everything that you need. He's your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Come on, he's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He's your banner. He's ever present. He's your righteousness. He's your rear guard. He's your defender. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, he's everything I need. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. And he's calling you tonight to be that source. So why don't you do it right now? If you're watching this by YouTube, watching this by Facebook, you're listening by podcast, and you've never plugged yourself into the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple as this. Father, forgive me of my sins. And I ask that you'd come into my heart. I ask that you'd wash me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Forgive me for doing things my own way. I come to you tonight acknowledging my sin, acknowledging I can't do this on my own, acknowledging that you are my Lord, you are Savior, you are Messiah, and I willfully surrender my life to you. And I don't want to just follow you day after day, but I want to mature and grow into a disciple of you so that I can go out as I bear fruit and produce disciples and make other disciples to bear fruit as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.